tonight, calling our teaching Reasons for Thanksgiving. And God wants us to be a thankful people. Their labor of love, their sacrifice, their givings, something that's cost them or costs their time. And therefore, because they do that, it is important to be thankful. Now, if we as humans do that, or at least we should do that, and not all do, sadly, if we as humans do this, then how much more should we acknowledge and thank God, who has given us life, who has given us Jesus, given us his word, and the precious Holy Spirit? How much more should we acknowledge and thank him? Because God loves a thankful people. And I want to base our teaching tonight on several scriptures. Firstly, in Psalm 92, which you all know very well, Psalm 92 and verses 1 to 2. Psalm 92, verses 1 to 2. And tonight we're calling our teaching Reasons for Thanksgiving. And here it opens up, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." And then that thankful heart is also expressed on an instrument of 10 strings, on a lute and a harp, and making a harmonious sound. So that is what the psalmist opens up with. He says it's good to give thanks to the Lord, so there's something good about it, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. So in that thankful heart, we sing praises also, which is incorporated, and we declare this, his loving kindness, morning, and faithfulness every night. So in a sense, it's a continuous attitude, motive. It's something that's always there, ready to express, to give out our thanks, our praise, our gratitude to the Lord. Now with that, let's also turn to Psalm 107. Now, this is a long psalm, so I'm not reading all this out, but I'm just taking out a few verses here. And this is a psalm that's speaking about thanking God for his deliverance and his great wondrous works. So that's the basis of this psalm. And we see here in verses 8 to 9, where God is raising something here. And in verses 8 to 9, he says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." So he raises a question, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness." So God sees that not all give thanks. Not all acknowledge him. And the reason being is because he says it's for his wonderful works to the children of men. Not only that, he satisfies the longing of their souls and fills the hungry soul with goodness. And as the word of God says, he pours rain upon the just and the unjust. And yet he says there's not all that acknowledge that. Not all give thanks to the Lord in that way. And there are even believers and Christians who don't really give that real thanks and gratitude in the heart to the Lord. We also see it again in verses 14 to 15. Verses 14 to 15. "He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He broke their chains in pieces." Now this is speaking to the children of Israel. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he's broken the gates of bronze, and cut the bars of iron in two. So he says he brought them out of darkness, and of the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to God. So we see that God delivers man from darkness, from the shadow of death, from deathly experiences. He saves people. He can break the chains that hold and fetter and hold people down. But maybe sometimes it doesn't happen because we just don't thank him. We don't acknowledge him. And finally, in verses 17 to 22, verses 17 to 22, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Again, we notice here how God delivers out of affliction, out of iniquities, out of afflictions. When their souls are desperate for food, God will provide. When they're near to death, God is there. When they cry out to God in trouble, he saves them from distress. He says he sends his word to heal us, to deliver us, to set us free, to deliver us from destruction. Give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. You see, every time we reject God's word, we argue about God's word. We don't have faith in God's word. You can't tragedy that goes on so much in the house of God, because there is so much unbelief, argument, bickering about the word of God. How, therefore, can people truly offer that real thanks and praise to God for his word, when half the time they don't really even believe it? Little wonder we see the problems and ills that have been catalogued here in what I have just read to you. Why is it that it always seems that when man is at a desperate state, that is the time then when he will acknowledge God and give thanks? But the Lord is saying, why go to those lengths? Why go so far when you can learn to praise and thank me? These are the reasons, I believe, tonight, brothers and sisters, why we give thanks to the Lord. Well, firstly, under five areas, I want to give these reasons why I believe it's important that we thank God, we acknowledge him. And firstly, thanksgiving is important because it separates us from the world and its speech, its way of living, and what it says. And to base that, I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. Ephesians 5 and verse 4. And here it's speaking about in the context of walking in love, being imitators of God. And he says here in verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So what the Bible tells us here is that you cannot really give true thanks to God if your speech is flavored with filthiness, just silly, foolish talking, jesting. You can't thank the Lord really from a right heart and spirit. And that's what it says here. In fact, all that sort of talk, the next verse tells us what that comes out from. Fornicators, unclean persons, covetousness, idolaters, all those sort of people. That's the sort of talk that comes out. Well, they're not people that are going to really thank God, acknowledge God. So that shouldn't come out of the believer. Because if we get caught into that type of talk, then that stops us from being able to really thank the Lord. You cannot thank God from a thankful heart and speak at the same time in foolishness, filthy talk, or jesting. The two do not mix. So we begin to get an understanding that thanking God has to come in purity. It has to come in a right motive and in a right heart if it's to be accepted by the Lord. So that's the first area for the reasons for thanksgiving. The second one, a thankful heart, thanksgiving, we're shown it brings peace into your life. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 15 to 17. Secondly, Colossians chapter 3 15 17, which brings peace. And here it says here, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Those who are not thankful are not people who have peace. Now that is sad, particularly with a professing believer. And so there's not that peace in their life, in their heart, in their spirit, because they're proving that they're not thanking the Lord. They're not recognizing the love and grace and mercy of God. What he's done for my life. How can I ever pay him back? There's nothing I can pay him back on what he's provided and given for me in Christ Jesus. But they don't acknowledge that. That's not really there. It's almost though as God has done them a good service. And so as a result of that attitude in the heart, they don't really have that peace about them. And it's sad. Because he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So this peace is to be a ruling factor. It's a dominant feature. And peace is essential to the believer. Because that peace brings clarity to mind, to your thoughts, to your circumstances. That peace is essential in trials and in tests. And when you're waiting on God or seeking God over certain things, that peace is absolutely essential. But that peace, above all, tells you that Christ is present in your life. Hallelujah. So that is a second reason why we are to be thankful, because it brings and maintains and keeps that peace. Thirdly, reasons for Thanksgiving. The reasons for Thanksgiving is because it's better than sacrifice. And we get this from Psalm 69, verse 30. Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verses 30 to 31. 30 to 31, Psalm 69. I will praise the name of my God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull which has horns and hooves. And it says, the humble shall see this and be glad. So the humble see and acknowledge that with a thankful heart, God actually prefers it to sacrifice. Now, of course, it's referring there to animal sacrifice, but we can take that over into the New Covenant, and it could be where you are wanting to give good works to God, to show our Christian good works so that they're accepted before the Lord. But the Lord says, I don't really want that. What I want from you is thankfulness, a thankful heart out of a pure heart, a heart that really acknowledges, really knows how to thank, is so, so thankful that you just can't express it in words. You can never, ever stop thanking God. This is why in eternity there will be praise and worshipping God. But the root of all of that is thanking God. That's what it's based on. Really, whole praise and worship, whether we find it in our assemblies, in our churches, and there which rests on a thankful heart. Thanking the Lord. Every base stems from that. This is why it's so important to the Lord. And he so wants us to learn this. There are more scriptures I'd like you to have. There are quite a lot of scriptures I want to use tonight for this teaching. But also in Luke 24, verses 52-53. Luke 24, 52-53. And here Jesus has risen and his ascension. And here we see in verses 52-53, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. In other words, they were thankful. They were praising continually, just thanking and praising God that he is risen and ascended now, and that Jesus is indeed the true Messiah, God in flesh. So they had much to praise and thank him for. What is it? What do we see in Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2, verses 46-47. Acts chapter 2, 40... Hang on now, I've got that wrong. Yes, Acts chapter 2, verses 46-47. Sorry about that. Chapter 2, verses 46-47. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So there they are, praising, thanking God, continually, daily, breaking bread from house to house, gladness, simplicity of heart. So their hearts are just simple. They trust, they believe God, they're thankful, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So again, we note how God acknowledges saints who are thankful, who acknowledge him. There's great power and blessing behind this. And souls were added to the church. You see, we can't bring expensive offerings to God, but we can bring a heart of praise and thanksgiving. And those simple people, those peasants who had no money, they couldn't even afford to bring an offering before God. But their pure hearts were being accepted before God in thanking and praising and worshipping him, because they had found what was pleasing God's heart more than anything. And as a result of it, God's presence and anointing and blessing was there, and the church was being added to. We have lost that today, brothers and sisters. We've lost it today through, we're spoilt. We have so much at our disposal. Our churches are wealthy. We have so much, and yet we just don't realize that God is saying you're wretched, miserable, and naked. You need eye salve. What is that eye salve? To open our eyes that we're not a thankful people. We're still wanting to bring these offerings, these idols to God, and we're thinking that he accepts them, and he doesn't. No, all these people could offer before God was their hearts. And they were hearts of praise and thanksgiving. You know, the Bible actually is taken up with much on praise and thanks from Genesis to Revelation. You want to make a study on it. You will absolutely be dumbfounded as to how much is entailed in the Word of God with just praising, thanking, acknowledging God. It is amazing. It will absolutely open your eyes. Fourthly, giving thanks is a result of being filled with the knowledge of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And verses 18 to 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So here we see in Ephesians 18 to 20, he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And he says, speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And that's what it's about. That's what worship, praise is about. It's about actually thanking God. That is why we have to give time when we come into the Lord's presence for the Spirit to move, and just to acknowledge and to speak to one another, which means to encourage, to edify, to speak psalms or sing the psalms, sing the hymns, the choruses, these spiritual songs, and doing it, making melody in your hearts. So we're making, turning it into tunes, into songs, into music, which is all part of thanksgiving. We can see now how powerful this is. It really is. And thanksgiving is also connected with being filled with the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12. And here it says, for the admonition of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. So here we find, in this context, that the apostle here is speaking to the church at Corinth about administering gifts, a love offering, and so on. And here he says that this is administered in the service. Not only does it supply the needs to the saints, but it abounds above all through thanksgiving. So the offering, as important as it is, but the most important thing is actually acknowledging and thanking God for the supply. And so it again can tell us why some Christians are not prospering like they are, and not breaking through in areas like they are, because they're not truly thankful from the heart, thanking God. Somehow there's an area in them, they just take it for granted. Well, this is what God should do. God doesn't have to do anything. God doesn't have to save us. But he chose in his heart to do so. How much more then should we acknowledge this thankfulness, which is all part of praise an acknowledgement to God. But you know, to give thanks to God, to acknowledge God in this way, is also a sign that we're growing in wisdom and knowledge with the Lord. It's also a clear sign that we're learning the Word of God. It's also a clear sign that we're filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit of God. Because these are all clear outward signs that come through by a thankful heart. I think sometimes our worship will move to another dimension when we really take grasp of this. Because you see, an unthankful heart, a heart that doesn't really thank the Lord as it should, is a heart that's still very much consumed in self, me, I. And these are just signs that the cross that the believer is also to take up daily and follow the Lord is not really there in their life. Because the cross that we're to take up as well deals with that very self life, our self life, which it puts to death, that stops us from really being thankful and praising God. It will hinder. All the while self wants its way, it will never be able to really thank God truly from the heart. And God knows this. And even your good works, your sacrifice, which often is done for self, is not even acknowledged or accepted by God. No, it's when it comes out of a pure heart, undefiled. And fifthly and finally, looking at this, we see the consequences of not thanking God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. And this is the result of what happens when people don't acknowledge and thank God. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. 18 to 21 of Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest to them in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. And they professed themselves their wise by their own pride, but actually what it is, the Bible says, they're foolish. Can that be found and seen in the house of God? Why, sadly, yes, at times it can be. When they know, made in the image of God, they see God's creation around them, and should know better, as it says, but they refuse to glorify him as God. Why? Because they were not thankful. And because they were not thankful, they become foolish, futile in their hearts, and their hearts become darkened. And so because their hearts are darkened, they think they're thankful to God. They think they're doing it right, but they're not, because the hearts are darkened. You know, it wouldn't be a bad test for us brothers and sisters to put before the Lord. Lord, is my heart really thankful? Or am I deceiving myself? Is my heart darkened because I can't see otherwise? So please show me, because I want to glorify you in having a thankful heart and acknowledging that heart and giving it back to you. Now if you really mean that before God, that prayer, then God will answer that. He surely will. Yes, it might be a bit painful. It might mean you've got to bow the knee. It's a bit humiliating, but the fact is, this is where you're pleasing your Heavenly Father, if you truly love him. And finally, our last scripture tonight is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, thanksgiving here deals with unbelief. And unbelief will always cause anxiety to become anxious, but he says that will eradicate it. He says in everything, by prayer, supplication, with those thanksgivings, let your requests be made known to God. And what's the promise next? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, which is essential, because that's part of the armour. What is the key to that again? It's a thankful heart. So this is very, very important, brothers and sisters. And you see, the failure to return this thanks is one of the principal reasons for the revelation of God's wrath coming upon men. Because it's becoming upon a reprobate mind. See, that's why the wrath of God is coming upon the world. As Romans chapter 1 tells us, because man's mind that's become reprobate cannot thank God. It acknowledges and thanks themselves for their own achievements, for their inventions, for what they do. How that man believes he's got everything under control. And Jesus had something to say about that. He said, they will say peace, peace, peace. But I say, sudden destruction. A man will think that he's finally triumphed as his own God upon the earth. and then Jesus will come and appear. But all those who will acknowledge Jesus at his appearance will be those who have in their hearts a true thanksgiving, an acknowledgement for the Lord. So again, we see how important this is, the reasons for giving God thanks. You see, the children of Israel never made it into the promised land because they were ungrateful. In other words, they were unthankful, which will always result in complaining and the negative, depression, you name it. And as a result, after 40 years, God finally had to give them up in the wilderness. And the Bible says they perished because they were not thankful. Every trial, they couldn't see beyond their trial, and they griped and moaned and so on. And so because they were negative, they complained. As a result of their confession, they never made it into the kingdom of God. Which brings me finally, in its conclusion, that being thankful and the reasons for thanksgiving is ultimately based on our confession. Because if you are thankful and you acknowledge God, then that is going to keep your confession positive. Because it's going to keep it lining up with the Word of God. But the children of Israel did not want their confession lining up with God's will, God's word. They complained, they moaned, they rebelled, never learning, never really truly thankful. The only time you could get a glimpse of Israel being truly thankful was when they were sorely chastised, coming back in tears and repentance. Yes, Lord, we'll get it right this time and so forth, but it never lasted. This was the problem. It was simply crocodile tears. No, God wants from us, from our hearts, a true thanksgiving that is acceptable before him and not just mere lip service. Hallelujah. Father, again, tonight we want to praise and thank you for your word. We want to thank you that you are on the throne, that you are in complete and utter control, even to our weaknesses, even to the areas, Father, where we're blind, we're not seeing as we should. But Lord, we want to be your people who acknowledge you and truly give you the thanks from our heart. We don't want to offer up lip service, but we want to be thankful. We want you to be glorified through it. And so, Lord, we again are so dependent upon you. We're dependent because only you can open our ears and eyes and hearts. The very fact, Lord, tonight that we've had this teaching means something. It's trying to tell us something. And so, Lord, let all of us hear and apply that wisdom and not only be hearers but doers of the word. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As the river ever flowing rushes onward, ever growing till it finds fulfillment in the eye. Jesus is the one, brighter by far than any sun. Who overcame the enemy, who fought and won the victory. And Jesus is his name, all power is given unto him, who has redeemed. Cradled in the love of Jesus.